We are going to be in 1 Corinthians tonight, of course. It is the Lord's Supper. No, it doesn't have to be that way, always. But tonight I want to present to you something just a little bit unique, I suppose. We're going to take a look at all five accounts of this in Scripture. And you might recall, I know I've been gone a week, but you might recall that we've gone through Jesus Christ presented as the King, and Jesus Christ presented as the servant of God, and Jesus Christ presented as the Son of Man, and Jesus Christ presented as the Son of God, leading up to Christmas. And with all that said, we're going to kind of look at the different ways that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John present the Lord's Supper likewise. And it just kind of made sense to me. I don't know if it made sense to anybody else, but it just kind of fit with what we're going with here. And it's just kind of the direction we're going. But we're going to start with the unbiased approach in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. So if you'll stand out of love and respect to God's word, if you are physically able, we're going to begin at 1 Corinthians and chapter 11 and verse 17. And I'm going to read down just a little ways here, and we're going to leave off. This is, of course, just the unbiased approach here. It doesn't have any particular bias, because it's Paul writing to the church at Corinth of how the Lord's Supper should be administered. And of course, he was not there that evening, if you didn't know the story, okay? So we're just going to read through. I'll read. You follow along. Paul says in verse 17, "Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not that ye come together, not for the better, but for the worse. First of all, when ye come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you. I partly believe it. For there must also, for there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When ye come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating every one taketh before other his own supper. One is hungry, and another is drunken. What? Have ye not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it, and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the blood, body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry for one another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come." So first of all, take your Bibles and turn to Matthew. Matthew chapter 26. And once again, we see that Matthew presented Jesus Christ as the King. And I do believe that as we read through these passages here, beginning in verse 17 of Matthew chapter 26, you'll see kind of that tone of Jesus Christ the King. It says here, "Now the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? And he said, Go into the city to such a man, and say unto him, The master saith, My time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Let me just stop there for just a second. Who but a king could do that? Just say, hey, just go tell this man that I have need of this place and his supper. What man? I mean, can anybody just come over and say, hey, go make ready this room. This guy says he wants to come over for supper. Wait a minute. Who does he think he is? This is my house, my food, my place. What are you talking about? No, only the king could do that. Because the king owned everything. You know, he could just tell this person, I need this, I need this, I need this. He's the king. What are you going to say? He's the king. So anyways, he goes through and this happens, of course. Now when the even was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, Verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. Now, what a terrible way to start a supper. I'm sorry. I mean, he's sitting down there, having the Passover. And the Passover, we don't have to go into the Old Testament history of how the Passover was all, what it was all about. You understand the time in Egypt and the blood on the doorposts and the lamb and the unleavened bread and all that stuff, right? Okay, so, guys, we're all gathered here to remember this time of God's provision. And one of you going to betray me. Now, again, only a king could do that. You know, I mean, this is amazing. He says, And they were exceeding sorrowful and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? Now, they had been with him long enough. They kind of understood that he knew what he was talking about when he said something. Okay, I mean, they had gotten that three, whatever time frame you want to put on, 3.5 years, whatever it is. And they've been with him long enough that when Jesus said something, it was just going to happen. So they're like, okay, well, which one of us is it? Is it me? Am I going to do this? And they went around the table and such and so forth. And he answered and said, He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. I wouldn't put my hand anywhere near a dish. I'd be like, I'd tie my hands behind my back, you know. But if you read these accounts and just think of these things. I mean, what an amazing time to be at this place at this time. Son of man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? And he said unto him, Thou hast said. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Now just to me, that's just the whole setup there of that account. Just shows the presence of the king. And how he handled Judas. How he handled his disciples. The things that he said, the things that he did. You see, the kingdom of God is an important aspect to think of. It's to come. It's what we're looking forward to, isn't it not? It's what is presented many times, time after time in the book of Matthew. It said something about the kingdom. Because he's the king. The king has a kingdom. And you understand that Jesus, being presented as the king, has this time of remembrance with his disciples. This time of thinking of not only the Passover and what God promised, and Jesus was there to fulfill that promise, but he was showing them these things that were coming to pass. He, in the chapters previous, time and time again, he told them of what was going to take place, and they just kind of passed by it. No, we're not going to think about that right now. They were having a time, folks. Going around from town to town, seeing people healed, seeing all these amazing things happen. Of course, we just saw how, just previously to this, how he came into Jerusalem, you know, just all these things. You understand that they weren't ready for this. But as a king, he was trying to prepare them and make them ready for this. And he goes through and says things like, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Let's go to the book of Mark, just a few pages over, in chapter 14. Mark in chapter 14, beginning in verse 12. If you think of Jesus as the servant of God, just because he's a servant doesn't mean he's a pushover. You understand that, don't you? Even in the servant ranks, there are leaders of servants. And they are servants themselves. Everybody understands that, right? Okay? So you have all of these things. If just a quick example, if you think of the man that was in charge of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? The prince of the eunuchs. He was in charge. He wasn't the king. He was a servant. But he was responsible for those other servants that were under him to the one that he was serving, the king. So something like that, if you will, as far as to think of. So in other words, this story is not necessarily going to be presented as Jesus is kind of passing everything off, because he's still Jesus. He's still the Son of God. He's still the king. He's still the Son of Man. And he still is the servant of God, but with great authority given to him by the master. So take a look at verse 12 here in Mark chapter 14 in verse 12. It says, "In the first day of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover, his disciples said unto him, Well wilt thou that we go and prepare that thou mayest eat the Passover? And he sendeth forth two of his disciples and saith unto them, Go ye into the city, and there shall meet you a man bearing a pitcher of water, follow him. And wheresoever he shall go in, say to the goodman of the house, The master saith, Where is the guest chamber, where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he will show you a large upper room, and furnished and prepared, there make ready for us." Now, if you think about this, it's presented in a different light. How he went about telling them how to find this place to set up. And it's kind of a little bit more gentle. Or I guess you could use the word genteel in a way, I suppose. To me, the only difference between those two is how you pronounce it. but you know, he says, there's a man bearing a pitcher of water. Well, that would be probably a servant. Follow him. Go to the goodman of the house and ask. Do you see how this servant is entered into this scene that it wasn't presented in Matthew? Where Mark is trying to present Jesus as the servant of God. Just these little nuances. I don't know. I didn't really pay attention to a lot of them before I thought of it in this light. "And wheresoever I shall go and show you the large upper room furnished and prepared, there make ready for us. The disciples went forth and came into the city and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And in the evening he cometh with the 12. And as they sat and did eat, Jesus said, Verily I say unto you, one of you which eateth with me shall betray me. And they began to be sorrowful and say unto him one by one, Is it I? And another said, Is it I? And he answered and said unto them, It is one of the 12 that dippeth with me in the dish. The Son of Man indeed goeth, as it is written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Good were it for that man if he had never been born. No, here is not mentioned by name the account with Judas going back and forth. The king would talk to someone by name. He would address them or such and so forth, and it would be a very a detailed account. A servant? No. No, very generalized, right? Because a servant doesn't have that prominence, doesn't have that clout, doesn't have that records and things recorded. Think back to, I keep going back to kind of Daniel and Esther and those books of the Bible. You know, everything was recorded down. I mean, the scribe was there recording everything that happened in the throne room, right? But this is more of a broad detail. Or, excuse me, less details, right? More of a broad overview of what took place. In verse 22, as they did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed and brake it and gave to them and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said unto them, This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. Verily, I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until that day that I drink it new in the kingdom of God. Now notice here, there's no drink all of it. That's not mentioned. You say, well, that's something wrong with the translation. No, it's not. It's pictured in a different light. He says here that I'm going to drink it new in the kingdom of God. He didn't say of my Father. He didn't say my Father's kingdom. He said the kingdom of God. Why? Because he's a servant of God in the kingdom of God. I don't know. I don't know about you. Maybe this is only interesting to me. But I just think that as we take a look at these accounts, Paul said that this was delivered unto him by the Lord. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. We have these accounts here. First Matthew, and now Mark. Take your Bibles and turn to Luke in chapter 22. Remember, in Luke we see Jesus presented as the Son of Man. Look at Luke 22 and verse 7. Luke 22 and verse 7. Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. He sent Peter and John, saying, Go and prepare us the Passover that we may eat. And they said unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare? He said unto them, Behold, when ye are entered into the city, there shall a man meet you, bearing a pitcher of water, follow him into the house where he entereth in. And ye shall say unto the goodman of the house, The master saith unto thee, Where is the guest chamber, where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he shall show you a large upper room furnished, there make ready. So we kind of have a combination of both of these stories here in this one. You see, as Jesus came forth as the Son of Man, he names Peter and John by name to go and prepare the Passover. In the other two passages, we don't know who it was that he sent to go and make these things ready. They go to the house. They tell the goodman, Where's the chamber? And he shall show you an upper room and make ready. It's already set. It's already done. And they went and found as he had said unto them. And they made ready the Passover. And when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. And when he said unto them, What desire I have desired of you to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. So here we see some of the human elements that we don't see in the other passages of Scripture. He said, What desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not eat any more, or any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. This emotion, this feeling that Jesus had as the Son of Man, this is not something that was presented by the king. Not something presented by the servant, because nobody cares about a servant's feelings. But rather, he says, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Now, how many of us, we skipped right over that in our reading of the scriptures and just kind of, oh, this is the Lord's Supper. We're just going to hear about how he took the bread and broke it and took the wine and we know Judas is going to betray him and all these things. And all this happens. We see the humanity of Jesus. You know, he loved these guys. He did. They were special to him. And listen, if you don't think that, and you're not reading your scriptures, right? Because, you know, even what talks about John, and even as audacious as Peter was, he loved these men. Peter, lovest thou me more than these? You know, John was laying on the breast of Christ, and these people, they had a love for one another. He said, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. He took the cup and, verse 17, gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. He took the bread, and he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise, also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table. And truly the Son of Man goeth as it was determined, but woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed. And they began to inquire among themselves which of them it was that should do this thing. You understand that this same time, things are presented a little differently. As he goes through and tells them about the body and the blood, it's shed for you. The other ones mentions the sins, remission of sins. This one doesn't. The betrayal in this case is that of the Son of Man. I think Jesus, if you will, was truly disappointed that Judas was going to be a part of this. In my Bible, there's an exclamation point after verse 22. That was to be strong and sudden, sudden or strong feeling. They began to inquire among themselves which of them it was that should do this thing. You see, all these different things, he goes on and talks about how them talking about who's going to be the servant of all, and we've actually talked about that in the past. And all these things that happen in this time, I believe it just portrays the humanity of our Lord and Savior during this time before he should suffer and die on the cross. Now take your Bibles and turn to the book of John. Now we've read these other passages of Scripture. They kind of end. We have the king presented. It says they go out into the Mount, after they sing a hymn, they go out into the Mount of Olives and all this thing. In the book of Mark, likewise. Here we have kind of this thing of the supper ending and them beginning to fight about who's going to be the greatest of the kingdom and all that. And goes through about Peter's denial. And then it talks about Christ's prayer in Gethsemane. and moves on right there in Luke. And then we get to John. And in the book of John, in chapter 13, if you will, we see something different. It says, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father. Now remember, in the book of John, Jesus is being presented as the Son of God. So he should depart out of this world. That makes sense, right? He didn't belong here in the first place, if you will. He came for a purpose. Having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. This is amazing. It's not mentioned in the other accounts. After he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. I think that's the kind of reaction. I think of myself as a Peter. I'm really good at this. You know, foot in mouth. Simon Peter saith unto him, it's verse 9. Verse 10, Jesus saith unto him, he that is washed needeth not to save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him, therefore said he, ye are not all clean. You know, a lot of people would kind of read that and think that he was talking about Peter's betrayal, later on denying the Lord. But no, he's talking about Judas. And it's clarified in verse 11. So after he had washed their feet, he had taken his garments, it was set down again. He said unto them, know ye what I have done unto you? You call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it come, that when it is come to pass, ye may believe that I am he. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. And when Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit, and testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. So you have all these things happening here, and it goes on talking about, it speaks of Judas and what happens there. And he immediately went out, and it was night, in verse 30. And all these things came to pass. But this is such an amazing part of Scripture here. You see Jesus, the Son of God, meeting with his disciples, continuing to teach them and to show them the way of God. In the book of Luke, we see how they were fighting and arguing, right, about who's going to be greatest in the kingdom. Here we kind of get a little bit more of that idea, how Jesus was trying to show them that they should serve others and follow his example of service.
Because he's God. We should follow his example and do things his way.
So as we come to the close of these thoughts, and it's just interesting to see, and I hope that the whole idea was accomplished about this, is just looking at the example that God gave. And how the story, the same story, again, it's not a translation issue. We don't have a translation problem here. We have different accounts made to show different parts of who Jesus was and how he dealt with his disciples and how he deals with us. This time we have, as we remember this evening, what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. And again, as Paul said, this was something that was given to him by the Lord, that he should deliver it to the church. Because the church is supposed to be the one responsible for these things. You understand that participating in the Lord's Supper is one of a responsibility. We have a responsibility. Paul said that, hey, there's some problems here. Many of you are eating and drinking unworthily. This is a bad thing. You ought not mess with this. And you ought not take this lightly. It ought to be something serious. And it is a serious time. And as we looked at these accounts, and I hope you enjoyed just the different nuances. And maybe you've already seen these things before. But as I began to look at them a little more closely, it became very evident what God was trying to do. We need to make sure we look to the scriptures and find out the whole story and the whole reason of things. God said what he said for a reason. He did what he did for a reason. And I think here in the book of Luke, in the book of John, as we close this out, he said that this is an example that he had given to them. He said, for I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. This example that Jesus Christ presented to his disciples is one that we should carry on, not just of, if you will, serving others. And I know there are churches out there that do foot washings and those types of things. I don't think he was talking about that specifically, but rather serving one another, not lording over one another, because he certainly did not do that. So as we think of this time, as we kind of will close out in a word of prayer and begin to enter into the actual time of the Lord's Supper, I think, as Paul said, we ought to examine ourselves. And we have to think about our lives. Do we see Jesus as Lord and King in our life? Do we see him and follow his example as the servant of God? Do we see him as a Son of Man, having that love for his disciples and that desire to be with them before he suffered during that time? And as the Son of God, being the example to them to follow, we have a lot to think of. The Lord's Supper is a memorial service. It's a time to ponder these things and to think on these things.